and welcome to the Digiday podcast. I'm Kaylee Barber, media editor at Digiday.
And I'm Kamiko McCoy, senior marketing reporter here at Digiday.
All right, Kamiko, big things happening. Beyonce's new album is one of them. How do you feel?
I didn't read them, but I know there were many a think pieces about what we can learn from Beyonce's latest album, what marketers can learn from Beyonce's latest album. I don't want any of those lessons, but I do like that we have expanded Daddy Lessons into an entire album. Top songs on this. Let me think. Texas Hold'em, obviously. Yep. I'm ready to forgive Miley Cyrus for that song she made with Mike Will Made It because of Most Wanted. She's forgiven in my book because that.
Yeah.
Delicious.
I think once she ditched her ex, she's had a very good, like, redemption arc. Mm-hmm. I've always been a fan of her. Well, not all of her music. I'm going to just put that caveat out there. But there's been a couple of albums of hers I've been a big fan of. And having her on this Beyonce track is, I agree, delicious. Post Malone's song with her is also really good. But my favorites are Daughter, Yaya, and what's the other one? I guess I would say like Most Wanted too. It's or two Most Wanted. Just thoroughly enjoyed this album. Got some slow songs, got some dance songs. Definitely will look into this tour once it's announced. Assuming I have the budget for that.
Okay, I was just about to say, y'all have to stop going on tour. I don't have any more money. That's it.
COVID was nice. Oh, no, I scratched that. Reverse. COVID was not nice. The one slight benefit is the fact that there were like 3 years of like no concerts, so I could save up for the ones that are now.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like the prices have spiked astronomically for seeing artists in person.
Ticketmaster, count your days.
Honestly, we need...
You will crumble.
We need that monopoly to die. But anyway, it's been a solid album. I've thoroughly enjoyed it myself. And thank you, Beyonce.
Thank you, Beyonce, indeed. For everything.
And that being said, your guest today is Laura Cohen, who is the VP of Partnerships and Creators at Linktree. And Linktree, I feel like... I have been kind of tangentially aware of them. They're the like link in bio kind of people, or the company kind of link in bio kind of company. So I'm interested to know, like, she used to work at Twitter, an exec at Twitter, RIP Twitter, now X. Now she's still working with like the creators. But I'm curious, like, how that bridge happened and what her kind of focus is on now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Laura Cohen at Linktree, she had a very lucrative career at Twitter, RIP, prayers up. But one of the most interesting things that she kind of was behind was, I don't know if you remember the massive selfie that Ellen DeGeneres took during, was it the Oscars that one year?
Yeah,
Laura was behind, was one of the minds behind that. And I think that kind of speaks to her capabilities when it comes to creators and creativity. Obviously, the creator economy is, I think, bursting at the seams to say the least. And so her team is kind of in charge of Linktree is kind of in charge of like the digital storefront. Something that's interesting that's happening right now in the creator economy, and that's what we talked about, is creators are looking to be, I guess, more in charge, have more ownership of their content, of their presence. When you start talking about things like TikTok bans, when you start thinking things about like X, turbulent takeover, we'll call it that, you have less control over your audience and your community. So having that cross-platform presence is incredibly helpful. And by having that storefront via Linktree is incredibly helpful with the creator economy. So they've got a lot of things happening right now, especially when you talk about monetization, ownership, and the what she calls multi-hyphenated creator, which is, like I mentioned, this cross-platform, cross-community type of creator. So lots of stuff that we talked about in this episode that I'm excited to get to.
Yeah. All right. I'll let you guys get into it. Thank you.
Thank you. The This is another episode of the DigiDay podcast, and today we're talking to Lara Cohen. Hi, Lara, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Very happy to be here.
I'm so glad to have you. We are talking about influencer marketing today and your role at Linktree, which is so exciting, given the creator economy and influencer marketing is changing so quickly.
So quickly. And I think growing faster than people actually are wrapping their heads around right now, to be honest.
Yes, exactly. I always like to start these conversations with a fun question. So I'm going to do the same thing here. And I am going to ask you to dig through your recent purchases. And what is your most recent influencer-inspired purchase? What has an influencer recently inspired you to buy?
Oh, my God. This is a great question for me because, I date myself by saying this because I'd be probably you weren't even born yet with these commercials, but there was these commercials in the early 90s that were the hair club for men. I'm not just the president. I'm also a client. And that is me with influencer marketing because I am so easily influenced, in purchasing, everything I buy, I feel like right now is being driven by influencers, and that is sincere. That is not just me saying it for the purpose of this podcast or my job. Right now I'm really deep on thrift talk. There are a couple of creators that I follow who are really big on thrift talk. And so I'm deep in the bowels of eBay looking for vintage Levi's and vintage Izod V-neck sweaters and stuff because they're so cool on thrift talk. And yeah, eBay is a way of going thrifting from the comfort of your own home, which I'm very into. Mm-hmm.
With some of these things that are as a product of the 90s, some of these things that Gen Zers are bringing back, I'm maybe I should have kept those pants from middle school. Can I fit those pants from middle school? Yeah. No, I was 12, but
yeah, no, totally. I mean, the amount of times I'm oh shit, I wish I had that. Oh, sorry. Can we swear on this podcast? Oh no.
Shoot. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. It's fine. It's totally fine.
Yeah. That's so funny. Should have hit that question before recording. But anyway, the amount of times I'm like, oh shoot. I wish I had held on to these things. It would, would be handy. That's me every day.
Same, man. Same. We started this by kind of talking about how the landscape is changing. And really, you could say the creator economy and influencer marketing space is booming, becoming a go-to strategy for most brands and companies at this point. So and obviously Linktree has a front row seat to how those changes happen being included. So what are the trends and changes that you are seeing from where you sit at Linktree?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, there's this shift happening right now. And I think the financial shift is really yet to sort of catch up with directionally where the market is right now in some ways. But look, if people like me, a mom in her 40s is being influenced to buy online so heavily based on what I'm seeing on my For You page, that's pretty indicative of a much larger cultural trend, I think. And I think it's 75% of Gen Z is making their purchases based on, something that a creator recommends. And so I think that, smart companies are, moving to a model where they are investing in creator marketing and influencer marketing and doing smart things with having creators show up on social. I think the real shift that we haven't seen yet that we're really advocating for on the front lines of Linktree is that these creators should be paid more, I think right now, sort of these marketing budgets are the last things to change. It was the transition from moving, dollars from classic TV to, digital was a shift. And I think the influencer budgets, if a company allocates 3% of their marketing budget to influencer marketing, I think the trend that we're going to see in the future is that, these creators are really, if not, getting rid of brick and mortar, I don't think anyone wants to get rid of brick and mortar, but much more on par with brick and mortar in terms of what they're doing. It's not just marketing. They're really sort of the delivery platform for how people buy and sell. And I think that they should get paid commensurately. And so, from Linktree's perspective, you know, we're sitting on 45 million of the most active creators on the internet, which is, you know, great. And we sort of exist to help these people, you know, unify their audience, bring their audience together, grow their audience, and also monetize their audience. And so really making sure that they're set up for success and that they have sort of like a one-stop shop that helps them sort of put all their, you know, all their places that they're selling, but also like prioritize what they're trying to drive their audience to, so they're not just fighting for their lives with the algorithms like on the platforms. And that's, you know, that's really the reason that we exist. But, you know, the commerce that we're seeing on Linktree, you know, is happening in real. You know, we're driving, I think, like an upper, almost 2% of traffic overall to Amazon, our creators. And so, like, they are moving the needle. Our creators are, like, moving the needle in commerce right now. And I think that that's only going to continue to grow.
Yeah. I'm curious, because, like I said, you guys sit from an interesting perspective, being able to see all this movement happen in real time. I'm curious, how do you adapt your business to kind of how influencer marketing and creator economy is growing?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's something that we've thought a lot about. Like, it's funny, because I think that, like, I don't think when, you know, Alex and Nikki built the company, their intention was like, hey, we're going to be like a marketplace for to match creators with brands to sell things. You know, I think they were really just trying to give creators and small businesses a place to centralize and hub their audience and be sort of a conversion tool to the things they care about most, audience conversion tool. But, you know, it's sort of like when I was at Twitter, it was like the hashtag sort of happened, you know, from a user. And I think what we're seeing now is like we're responding to our users who are using it this way. And so we're doing a lot of thinking about how we can, you know, bring commerce directly into Linktree mm-hmm. and sort of like take out that extra step for folks. And so they're, you know, they're more likely to convert, you know, directly on your Linktree while really at the same time championing for creators to get a bigger piece of the pie because they're doing a lot of work here, you know, more than just like a 3% affiliate rate. Like they're selling the products. So that's a lot of the thinking that we're doing in-house at Linktree right now.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a sticky question, but I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask it. When creators get paid more for the work that they're doing, what does that mean for Linktree? Does that open up more opportunities for you guys, better sales, that type of thing?
Yeah. I mean, right now we are a SaaS product. And so like, you know, making like creators selling more and making more money on Linktree is really just like the value back to us is that, you know, more people will use our pro tools and, you know, want to buy subscriptions because, you know, the analytics that they're getting, these pro features that they're getting are valuable to them because it helps them make, you know, smarter, more informed brand deals and make them more valuable in the marketplace. You know, we're definitely thinking about like if we were to do direct sales on Linktree, what that would look like. And of course, you know, obviously that model is like that we take a cut of that as well. But I think that, you know, because we would be entering the marketplace sort of with a size and scale of 45 million creators, that sets us up in a different way where we have more leverage for the creators than any, you know, commerce marketplace that's starting.
Yeah. I want to go back to the idea of what we talked about a second ago, which is like creators and influencers. I think it could be said that they're looking for more ownership over their work or more ownership over the relationship with the brands and things like this. I actually wrote a story not too long ago about how the platforms themselves for creators are becoming more of marketing vehicles as opposed to like, you know, income generators. So kind of curious, what does that mean for a company like Linktree as their creators are looking to own a bigger piece of the pie?
Yeah, I mean, I think that speaks really to one of our key value propositions, because I think that like creators on these platforms have sort of, you know, a classic frenemy relationship where they are both reliant on each other, you know, dependent on each other, but also really pivotal to each other's success. But at the end of the day, like there's a power imbalance right now where the platforms, I think, are making a lot more money from the creators and the content that they bring to the platforms than the creators are making back, because they ultimately are running ads against this content, and it's what brings people to tune into the platforms. And the creators are not, I don't think anyone, you know, with the exception of maybe of YouTube, has figured out a really scalable way to get creators of all size and scale paid that way. And at the end of the day, you know, because the algorithms are as such, is that, like, you know, if TikTok decides to downrank a creator who is pushing their LTK because they're focused on TikTok shops, you know, like, that hurts the creator's revenue stream. I think the real value, one of the real values to Linktree, is that, like, we are giving these folks a hub that they own. Like, we are never going to mess with the way they stack rank and prioritize what they're driving their audience to. Like, that's our commitment to creators. Like, we want to, like, help set them up for success and really own, give them an ownership of that audience that I think ultimately at the end of the day, the platforms never give them.
Yeah. The interesting point here is that you guys kind of sit at that intersection, which I feel like is part of social platforms becoming a marketing vehicle, because you can put that Linktree link in your bio and, like, yeah, you know, as opposed to you depending on the platform itself, now you've got this hub to go to everywhere else. Is that, I would imagine that's a selling point for you guys, but I'll let you say it.
No, it's funny. It's like, I think that, you know, in creator world, I think having Linktree in your bio in some ways has become like a shorthand for, like, you know, an open for, like, I'm open for business, you know? And I think, you know, we really want to democratize that. Like, I think that more creators should be open for business, especially because we see a lot of the creators that are really moving the needle for brands are not, you know, people who have massive millions of followers, but it's people who have, you know, a smaller following, but a really engaged audience that are tapping into a niche that maybe someone else isn't, or their voice is really resonating. And those are the people who are really the most effective in terms of influencer marketing. And so I think, yeah, one of our goals is definitely to sort of, like, democratize who can have that open for business sign up and really hopefully, like, expand the number of people who are making money from this kind of work.
Absolutely.
And I think ultimately, like, honestly, like, we've just scratched, the reason why I feel so bullish about it is, like, I think that we've just, like, scratched the surface. Like, I think, you know, things like lifestyle, beauty, fashion are tapping into this right now and sort of pointing creators at selling this stuff. But I mean, like, you know, imagine travel being curated by your favorite creator, or, you know, all sorts of different purchases. I think, you know, there's a whole world beyond that lifestyle niche that really has tapped successfully into creator marketing.
Yeah. You guys have, obviously, the pro tools and subscriptions and things like this. But there's also the free version. So I'm curious, you know, what is the strategy to kind of bring, two-part question, bring creators into the Linktree fold, one, and then two, get them to use those paid tools?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we value our creators whether they're paying or not, you know, first and foremost. And I think, again, if we do go down a path of, like, more direct commerce, like, that's an additional revenue stream for us, whether they're paid or not. But truly, I think we're doing a lot of thinking about, like, what can be going into those pro tools that really adds value. And for me, like, from where I'm sitting, it's like, I would really ultimately love creators to make money on Linktree, both directly and indirectly. And so directly, obviously, that makes sense. Like, you know, if you're selling things directly on your Linktree and you transact there, that makes sense. But I think that things like, you know, the metrics that we can provide, and if we're putting that, some of those stuff in our pro features, it's like, that's the kind of, that will help you make more informed decisions. Like, hey, my Instagram is driving more, you know, commerce than my TikTok is, you know, and these are all the things, because we sit across all of those analytics, we can help you make more informed decisions as a creator about where you show up. And then there's just, like, you know, I think we have a lot of features that I think, frankly, we haven't done the best job of educating people about that we have. You know, I still think that people think of us as, like, a very classic link in bio. But things like, you know, scheduling your content, you know, to come out across your platform. So, like, you know, if you still have a 9-to-5, you're still a corporate girly, you know, but you want to, like, get that, you know, that content out during the day where you're selling, you know, you film content, you want it to go out at prime hours where it's going to get maximum visibility. Like, we can, you know, there, we have tools to do that for you. So I think it's just about, you know, really being sort of like a one-stop shop for creators and small businesses who frankly like have to run their businesses like them, like their creators themselves, just sort of making their lives easier.
We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor. Not for nothing. That link in bio place is very coveted real estate there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm curious, you know, kind of in your role, what's the process in ensuring that it goes to Linktree as opposed to, you know, a competitor or anything like that?
Well, one of the really smart things I think the company did pretty early on, which is, again, a feature that I think not everybody knows about, is like that we have a feature where, you know, because a lot of people, like a lot of creators, they're like, oh, I have my Linktree in my bio, but I have to swap it out when I have a brand deal, you know? And so we have like a tree feature that like lets you put in the brand deal in your bio, because a lot of brands will make that sort of part of an agreement with someone to have it, to have like the brand in your bio. But you can set that up for like a period of time and have it then go back to your Linktree. It sort of like auto directs to the brand for your gated window and then comes back to your Linktree after a period of time, which I think is like just really smart.
Another angle that's interesting here is because, like, I mean, obviously there's the link in bio Linktree that connects, you know, from one platform to another. But as influencers and creators look to own more of their space, there's also simultaneously conversations that are happening not on these major platforms like Discord, news, you know, newsletters via Substack and things like that. So how do you guys play in that space as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think that like it's funny because I think creators, like the new multi-hyphenate is not like I have a TV show and I have a movie and I have a music career. It's like I'm a TikTok creator and I'm an Instagram creator and I also have a Substack and I also, you know, do a podcast. And again, I think this is about, you know, driving your audience to the things that you actually care about and want to promote the most, which is like our inherent value proposition. But on the BD side of the house, we're also working to like better integrate those platforms into our Linktree. And so like we just launched, for example, like a partnership with Instagram where like, you know, if you opt into your Instagram from your Linktree, you can pick and choose like the five Instagram pictures that are up, that are seen visually within, displayed visually within your Linktree. And we have like similar feature for Spotify podcasts. And so again, it's sort of creating this hub where all of your stuff lives, but giving you the power to sort of care, like prioritize what you care about most.
The thing that you said about the multi-hyphenated influencer or creator is really interesting. Tell me, how do you define that? And what is the play that you guys are making to make sure that we're getting those creators and influencers into our hub?
I mean, I think, I think, you know, the unique position that we sit in being that we're, you know, given our size and scale is that, like, you know, when we roll up to have a conversation with, like, you know, a Spotify or an Instagram, it's like, hey, we're working with 45 million creators. So how can we better integrate your experience onto their Linktree? So, you know, we can be this train station of driving, you know, someone's TikTok audience to their Linktree where they're seeing their great Instagrams and then driving them onto Instagram or driving them to Substack, which I think is a really good, what I love about this job is that like, there's just a lot of mutual benefit for everyone. You know, it's just like, everyone at Substack is interested in capturing a creator's Twitter audience, you know? And so they want to make their, you know, their storefront in the train station as attractive as possible. So there's a lot of desire from those partners to sort of enrich their experiences within Linktree and make them desirable. So we're doing a lot of work around that right now.
Absolutely. You mentioned that your time at Twitter, which is obviously interesting because it's interesting background, you know,
yeah.
Historical notes and whatnot. But having come from a background overseeing the marketing strategy there, including, you know, the iconic selfie, Oscar selfie with Ellen DeGeneres and things like that, having a hand in that, curious kind of how your background lends itself to the work that you do now in the influencer space.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, even before Twitter, I started my career in working with talent, you know, and like in magazines. like doing a lot of talent booking and you know, developing relationships with talent stakeholders. And the reason I went to Twitter is because I was really interested in, you know, how public figures were using social media to communicate directly with their audience without sort of the filter of traditional media, like having to do an interview, having to do press. Like, this is a way that they could speak directly to their audience. And I think, you know, we really did that well at Twitter for a long time. You know, we really encouraged people to show up as their authentic selves. And, you know, I think that that was such a big part of the brand, was like how public figures use the platform, you know, like the Chrissy Teigens of the world, like how they showed up. And were spoke to their audience. I think what I saw at Twitter, and this was even like pre-Elon and everything, yeah. Everything that, which is a whole other podcast, a drinks podcast, but even when I was there, it's like, I feel like I was like keenly aware of sort of like the imbalance of gives and gets between what we as a platform were getting from these folks versus what we were giving. Like, yes, we were giving them a way to speak directly to their audience, you know, which is fine if you're a big star and you're using the platform to drive butts and seats to your movie. Yeah. And you're already getting paid a lot. And it's like, this is just like sort of an editorial or marketing channel for you. But if you were like a smaller creator coming up, you know, you'd amass this audience, and then what were you doing with it? Like, we were getting more from that than they were. And I think that kind of weighed on me pretty heavily, you know? And so, like, when I fled Elon's Twitter very, very fast. I'm trying not to swear again, even though we're allowed to swear on the platform. On this podcast. But, I really like wanted wherever I showed up next to be a place that I felt was genuine in their interest to sort of serve creators and set them up for success. And I genuinely believe that, like, you know, I say to when I meet with folks now, it's just like, you know, my team did an amazing job of like selling Twitter to public figures for a really long time. But the truth of the matter is, you know, a lot of times it was like more harassment and abuse than engagement. Linktree is, I think, for creators, like, just a win-win. Like, it's just like there's nothing, it's only additive to sort of be strategic about, you know, owning your audience and driving them to what you care about. And so that gives me a lot of pride that I feel like I'm selling something that I think is genuinely good for the folks that we work with.
Yeah. The last thing that I wanted to ask you is, like I mentioned, you know, you guys are in the driver's seat, or the passenger seat, rather, the influencers in the driver's seat, but of watching the changes happen in real time. So just kind of based on your experience and what you know, where do you think the creator economy and influencer marketing is headed next? And kind of where does Linktree fit into that?
Yeah. I mean, again, I think, you know, people like throw around the term creator economy, and it's like, it was like the hottest thing, and then it became a dirty word. And I think like a lot of people who like actually don't know what they're talking about sort of throw it around in both cases. Not you. You actually are deeply, deeply knowledgeable about this. But like, but you know, I think this idea that, you know, creators are storefronts, you know, and creators are, you know, a potential new land of storefronts for like how people purchase is like, this is like only just the beginning of that, you know? And I think it's intersecting at a time where like creators are also, you know, how like most of Gen Z gets all their entertainment. Like if you ask people, you know, if you ask anyone under the age of 30, like what TV show they're watching, they're like, I'm not watching a TV show. Like maybe I'm watching like old episodes of Gossip Girl on YouTube, but like really, like I'm just, you know, watching TikTok for 4 hours a night on my phone. And so, you know, good marketing is always like meeting people where they are. And I think that like, you know, this is just a way of brands meeting people where they are. And I think that like, we've only just scratched the surface of that, truly. Like, I think that's just, this is just the beginning.
Absolutely. That is, I feel very called out right now because every Monday, my boss, Christina Monlos, God bless her, will be like, hey, what did you watch this week? And I'm like, 4 hours of TikTok. I actually have had to step away from TikTok
because I will
just scroll and scroll and scroll.
I know. I mean, like, I am like so old school. Like, I still have cable, which is like also like embarrassing, you know, and dating myself. But at the same time, like, I'm like, you know, I too, like, I can't sit through like a full like Housewives episode at this point. I'm like, just like, give me more of like 4 hours of TikTok, like in my brain, 4 hours of people like searching through thrift stores or like eBay purchases. Like, yes. So again, I'm like, if this is influencing me in this way, I feel like it's a lot of people, and certainly people like Gen Z very much so.
I know I said one last question, but I lied because you brought up a really, really interesting point. And we should do more of like exploring this idea of like, how do you define a creator versus an influencer?
Right. Yeah. I mean, great question. I don't have a great answer for that. I mean, like, you know, I mean, like, I'm just sort of like, whatever you want to call yourself is cool. You know, again, I just think that like, it's weird. It's like, I just think like there's just like weird stigmas around a lot of these words because in some ways they just like popped too early, you know? So, you know, whether it's influencer or creator or entertainer or, you know, it's just like actually what these people are multi-hyphenates, are small businesses themselves, you know? Like they figured out a way to be both entertainment and commerce at once, which I think, you know, is what lots of businesses strive for. So, you know, I don't care what you call it, but like at the end of the day, like they're their own businesses. And I think that we want to give them the tools to do that in the best, smartest way possible.
Fantastic. Okay. I have pelted you with questions. I will let you get back to your thrift store TikToks.
But oh yeah. Really important stuff happening over here. Yeah, no. How many vintage Levi's is too many? I guess we'll never know.
Very important
but
work.
It's research for my job.
Exactly.
But thank you so much. No, this is a great conversation. I hope it was helpful.
Thank you. We'll see you next time. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of the DigiDay podcast. Thank you to everyone for listening. And please don't forget to share this episode with someone who you think would enjoy it. You can even rate us and leave us a comment on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back next week with another episode. Thanks for joining us.